Township of McKellar regular meeting of council for September 3rd, 2024 to order. Start with roll call.
Counselor Morley Haskam.
Counselor Nick Ryland.
Treasurer Ocean County.
Counselor Debbie Zula.
Counselor Mike Heffin.
Acting Clerk Administrator Carly Britton.
Mayor David Moore. Any declarations of pecuniary and or personal interest in the general nature thereof?
Yes, I have one under planning matters 15.1.
15.1, okay. We have resolution 24-486, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby approve the agenda for this regular meeting of council as amended to move items 15.1, 21.1, 17.1, and 17.2 to precede item 12.1, Committee of the Whole. Discussion? All the question, all those in favor? And opposed? Carried. We try to be accommodating with the people who are attending. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land in which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson-Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. To honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years, we pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit, and work towards truth and reconciliation. Okay, we've moved some items on the agenda, so we're actually dealing with 15.1 first, consent application B20/2025 Greenwood. And I just have the resolution. Okay, sorry. Very confident. Just have the resolution, which we'll read out and then take it from discussion there. So it'll at least be on the table. It's resolution 24-487, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Haskam. Be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby approve the proposed consent application to create three new waterfront lots and a right-of-way at 176 Balsam Road in Part of Lot 21, Concession 13, as applied for by Ted Greenwood in consent application number B20/2024, subject to conditions. Number one, payment of a fee in lieu of parkland dedication is required in the Township's fees and charges bylaw. Number two, that the applicant enter into a 51-26 consent agreement to recognize that the access road is private and the township will have no responsibility or liability for the maintenance of the road, and the user shall indemnify the township for any liability as a result of the private road user, and to include the recommended measures to mitigate or eliminate phosphorus inputs above the natural condition to Ryan Lake from Fry Corps Ecological Services, referenced in their letter dated August 21st, 2024. Three, that the severed lots be rezoned to Waterfront Residential 1, WF1 zone. Four, 911 addressing for the proposed new lots. And five, payment of any applicable planning fees. Now, before we open this up for discussion, we have the applicant here as well. I believe we have our planner, David Wellwood, on Zoom. And I know this is a revised list of suggested conditions. And we've had a letter, certainly, from J.O. Richards suggesting that after our last meeting, some of the conditions be amended somewhat. So I just don't know whether Mr. Wellwood has anything to add at this point, or I know we have a letter from you or from your corporation.
I'm happy to speak to that.
Okay, thank you.
We provided a revised letter based on some of the follow-up to our initial letter. I think the resolution you read covered off most of what we were looking for. We did note that the application sketch generally meets the requirements of the Planning Act. However, if there's some, I believe they were going to revise the lot fabric to reflect their original proposal, so they should update that sketch to show that preferred lot fabric. The other thing, as you noted, is a requirement for an ecological report to address the presence of fish habitat. So a report from an ecologist confirming that the proposal has no negative impacts on fish habitat would satisfy the requirements of the official plan and the provincial policy statement. In our original letter, we raised concern that the original consent may require an OPA as it proposed to utilize a private road. We acknowledge that the policy on private roads in the township's official plan it has not been interpreted in the past in McKellar the way we interpreted it. With that understanding, we recommended a consent agreement, as you noted earlier, Mr. Mayor, to essentially indemnify the township of any liability should any failure to act be able to access the property by emergency services occur. That's a standard condition in most of our municipalities to address the provincial policy statement requirements on safe access to new development. The applicant is providing confirmation that the proposal satisfies the MDS 1 setback from the farm located across the road at 161 Balsam, so we're satisfied that the application is consistent with the policies in the official plan and the PPS on minimum distance separation. In our original letter, we raised concerns about the prematurity of the proposal, as it was identified that the applicant would could likely proceed for future consent applications at some point. Understanding that the applicants advised that they don't know of any plans for future development on the parcel, we do note that council does have the option of requiring a holding provision on the balance of the property. That requires that any future lot creation on the property go through a plan of subdivision, which would allow for the orderly, more comprehensive development of the property. So that's something that you may wish to consider. Also, we stated in our letter that archaeological potential is present, and that's determined through the checklist published by the Ministry of Citizenship and Multiculturalism entitled Criteria for Evaluating Archaeological Potential. The subject lands are within 300 meters of water, and they do contain high potential for the presence of archaeological resources. Therefore, in accordance with provincial requirements, an archaeological assessment and an acknowledgement letter from MCM is required. So that is really the end of my comments. This kind of summarizes them. Happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Okay, thank you very much. The council has any concerns? As I say, we have the applicant here as well, who can also respond to some of the concerns from the planner. We'll start with council, though. Okay, we'll have the applicant here and speak to some of those ideas. Now, again, any conversation that will be through the chair, if possible. So, thank you. We'll need a microphone, and you got one? Good. And your name, so they can hear you on Zoom.
Ted Greenwood. I understand the planner's concerns from the municipality, but I feel that our normal existing consent proposal bylaws are pretty straightforward or adequate for what I'm doing and whatever application I'll put forward at a further date. I don't understand the subdivision planner's position on the property. I just don't understand why he's suggesting that council should consider that. Stands out to me. I understand why he doesn't want council liability on the ROW. I understand all that. So the only concern I really have with what he said is the archaeological thing is a concern too. I thought we talked about that earlier in the previous council meeting, but I don't understand why we would want to do a assessment of every requirement there. But the one that stands out is the planner continually putting forth a subdivision plan. I don't even know what a subdivision plan is, but probably put a consent, or an application ahead further down the road. I feel that this municipality should have the proper bylaws in place for what I'm trying to do, so that's my only concern, I guess.
Okay, as far as council is concerned, I mean, we haven't gone that route of asking for a plan of subdivision, we haven't gone for the holding symbol. Because you're applying for three lots and a retained, which you're allowed to do. And so I think it's just a suggestion from the planner. It's not something necessarily that council would require at this point. I don't know whether Mr. Wellwood has any further comments on plan of subdivision.
Sure, no, the only, yeah, that's exactly correct, Mr. Mayor. This is a consideration. If you're concerned that there could be future development opportunities on that parcel, on that retained lot, when Mr. Greenwood applies for rezoning, it could be just part of that process to add a holding symbol on the balance until we figure out what we'd like to see, what Mr. Greenwood would like to see for the balance of that property. You don't need to do that. That's just an approach a lot of municipalities take. We can address it through any future development application at that time as well.
Okay, thank you. I was interested in Mr. Greenwood's comment too. Maybe just clarify on this 5126. I thought that was a concern. The 5126 agreement for the private road. I know you talked about it being a driveway. Just as some background, we've gone through this through a number of applications in the township.
Okay.
And it's the future owners that sometimes come back to us and say that, you know, who's responsible here? The township should be responsible for this road. So we've always argued, we did one just recently, but down on Fox Farm Road. They were saying it was a driveway as well, leading to three lots and a retained. It turned out it went to the Ontario Land Tribunal as well, and there was a study done, Riverstone, I believe. And in the final 5126 agreement, it argued it was a road with driveways accessing off the road. And so that's the way we're approaching this one as well. There is a concern, I guess, on ownership of the road afterwards, and this is what we want to make sure of, that I don't know whether you as the developer would be the eventual owner, or whether the people themselves, with their access right of way, would eventually become the owners. I'm not sure what your plans are for that. There is liability, obviously, on a road if you maintain the ownership. So.
Well, my understanding on ROW, right of way, it's on a piece of land, so whoever's land that's on is liable for that, right? So the three lots that would be accessing that, my understanding would be during the registration of these lots, once we get to that point, I believe the legal right to use that right of way would be on their deeds. So that would be something the lawyer, would be the real estate lawyer that I would use at that time, would be putting that right for those three pieces of property to have access to that right of way from now on, future, to the end of future. So at this point, I don't think it turns really into a private road other than it's what it's stated to be as an ROW. So I know they have access to that property. The legal term as far as the owner of the property, if I ever sold that property, you know, that would go on to them. But once an ROW is surveyed and registered, that's what it becomes for life, I believe. So there's no change on that. You can't build on that. You can't change that. Once an ROW is registered on the property deed and they have deeded right to it, then it's a binding contract that can't be changed in any other way other than the wording that's done at this time, is the way I understand it.
And that's why we want the municipality to be indemnified, sort of thing, so we don't have to get involved.
I understand that.
And again, we've run into that recently too. There's an actual road, it's through a fire road that goes back, 30, 40 years. and that's coming forward again right now with that too, and they want the township involved, and we just said, no, it's a private issue, a private road. So we just want to make sure with the 5126 that you're okay with that.
I understand.
And part of that would be the also the Fry Corps conditions that they put on there, the 15-meter setback for from the high water mark, I think it said, for any vegetative.
Yeah.
And 30-meter for a septic.
Yes.
So that would be registered as well, and that's what we did before. The 5126 agreement ruled both of those in, the road and the environmental assessment that was done. So that they become part of on the deed too, so that's something that can be checked in the future.
Okay.
So no problem with that?
I don't have any problem with that. I've only dealt with North Bay Mattawan on my own property, and I know that my septic was put that 30 meters back or whatever. And the house that we built and we're living in now, it's more than 15 meters from the water also. So
yep.
I just thought that was a normal thing anyway. So.
But
I already thought that was law. But anyway, so I got no problem.
Okay, and I'll put this to Carly. Is that something that our solicitor, the township solicitor, would draw up?
Yes, we would have it drawn up by the township solicitor, and then we would forward it to yours,
yep.
And then you would come back with any comment that you have.
Okay.
Okay, I'm not sure. Mr. Wellwood has any further comments?
No, I think that sounds like it's covered.
Okay, so thank you. Councillor Keckman?
Maybe just a little more clarification on the archaeological assessment. Like, is that something that seems to be a requirement of the provincial policy statement? So is that something we're obligated to ensure is involved?
Well, that's a good question. And I don't want to put Mr. Wellwood on the spot here, but I've read through the act as well, and it's very confusing on whether you have to do it or don't. And you mentioned that I'm sure you deal with this on a regular basis. So I'm just wondering about the actual legislative authority where it says you have to within 300 meters, or do you have some leeway on that?
It has to be looked at. I mean, it's in the provincial policy statement. I think I referenced the specific policy in my initial letter. You can find it here. They can't permit development on property that may have archaeological potential. And so when you look at that term, archaeological areas with archaeological potential, they're defined in the provincial policy statements, and they refer to guidelines produced by the province to determine what that means. And in Ontario, that guideline is produced by the Ministry of Citizenship and Multiculturalism, formerly the Ministry of Cultural Heritage. I would say in your official plan also speaks to areas with archaeological potential, requiring an assessment. This is, I would say, this is a pretty standard practice in Ontario municipalities. Is when you have a waterfront development, you at least ask a question and do the due diligence to find out if there are any archaeological resources. There may not be. There's four different stages of an archaeological assessment. Sometimes it can go as a desktop stage one assessment, and if the archaeologist says there's no records, no evidence, they know from their desktop review that there's ever been any sort of resources in the area, then no further study is required, but we at least need to ask for that.
Okay, just interesting, some of the words that are being used, I know within our own policy, these are studies that may be required. Not studies that will be required, and you mentioned even through the PPS, it says may.
It's required. It's development and site alteration shall not be permitted on lands containing archaeological resources or areas having archaeological potential unless significant resources have been conserved. So you have to do the study to figure out if there's archaeological resources that have to be conserved.
Could I back you up to what you said previously, though, where you had mentioned may have to. You use the word may, so I'm just wondering.
I'm reading directly from the PPS right now. I'm quoting the policies 2.6.2. Development site alteration shall not be permitted on lands containing areas of archaeological potential unless significant archaeological resources have been conserved.
Can I address that?
Yes.
But you went on to say there's three or four different interpretations, and you said if there wasn't any known, that it wouldn't possibly be required.
Right, that's determined through the stage one archaeological assessment. So the archaeologist will still determine at a desktop review whether further investigation is required or not.
A desktop review.
It's what a stage one archaeological assessment involves.
We can just leave it there. We have a resolution, and we'll proceed and see if that's something that should be put in here as well. Any other comments from council? Okay, the resolution has been read, so I'll call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Staying with us. We have another application here. It's resolution 24-488. Moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby in bylaw number 2024-68, being a bylaw to amend bylaw 2024-66, amending bylaw number 95-12 with respect to lands legally described as lot 80 and 81 of registered plan 247. That's 171 Center Road, COCO. First and second reading, and further read a third time and passed at open council this third day of September 2024. Whether Mr. Wellwood was to speak to this, I think there was some minor change.
Yeah, there was a minor change just to the wording in the bylaw that was passed. Basically, it came up that the words high watermark were so the bylaw enacted is enabled a setback to the high watermark, when in reality that should have been type 1 fish habitat, as per the report. We don't know if there's type 1 fish habitat on the property, because the mapping from the ministry is considered to be out of date. And so we recommended that instead, to provide a little more flexibility, that the wording would say that the setback should be 30 meters to any type 1 fish habitat. That will be determined down the road at the site plan control stage. Just that will be confirmed, the presence of any fish habitat. So we thought that this was a more appropriate way of wording the bylaw.
Okay, thank you. That makes sense. I'll turn this over. I think Patrick is on there as well. Is he still on? Yes? And I was wondering about the timing of all this as far as the application. We're still okay within the time frames?
We can do this because it is a correction in the bylaw itself. The timing-wise, the consent itself has been finalized, but to me, this is a correction of the bylaw that was passed. So I believe this is possible in that way.
Okay, thank you.
I agree.
Good, thank you. I just didn't want this to be an application that had lapsed or something. Any further questions from council? Okay, call the question then. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Thank you, Mr. Wellwood and Patrick, for attending, and you can certainly stay for the rest of the meeting if you wish.
I would love to, but I've got back to school shopping to continue. So thank you very much for having me, and have a lovely evening, everyone.
Great, thank you.
Take care.
shocked if they'd said, sure, we'll stick around for the rest, so.
We have resolution 24-489, moved by Councilor Haskins, second by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved, Council of the Corporation of Township of Feller does hereby receive report T-2024-6, budgetary control report for the 6 months ending June 30th, 2024, from Treasurer Roshan Kantia for information purposes. Discussion? And we'll turn it right to Roshan. Is there any questions, comments? Maybe he can give us a summary if he wishes. It looks pretty good from what you're saying there.
Thank you very much, Council and Mr. Chair. As Mayor said, you know, the council looks really good. Report looks good.
Council looks really good.
You know, I just want to let you know this report is as of June 30th, 2024. Some of the activities which took place in middle of June or end of June, it's not reflected in this budget report. That's why the those activities or some of the issues we had in, was resolved in July. That's why some of the budgetary items like expenses is lower and other items it's lower. So that will be reflected in third quarter. Revenue-wise, we have so far. As of June 30, 2024, we collected and recorded 46.23% of our total budget. Some of the departments or line items have collected more than what we supposed to collect as of June 30th. Just like in the OMPF grant, we got 50% of it. Interest on our investment income is we collected as of June 30th, 74% of our budget, which is really good. Our building department has collected 66.53% of in first 6 months. And McKellar Market, she achieved the manager, Jen Gibson, achieved more than for the budgeted amount for the year. So revenue-wise, we are good. On the budget expense side, so far, as of June 30th, 2024, we expense 41.83 of our total budget, which is favorable. Some of the, as I mentioned, the cost is not reflected in the second quarter because some of the activities like meat challenges we faced by the public works, with the some of the projects like Central Road project, Hardwell project, or baseball field, we couldn't continue because of the machinery issues. That's why those expenses will be reflected in the third quarter. on the there was a budget. We budget $25,000 for the computer software, which we are going to now utilize to update our information technology infrastructure. And the asset management side, we paid 50% of the asset management cost. The company of the contractor or the consultant we hired, they're still working on the asset management plan, hoping they will finish in a month or so. Other than that, the budget expense is lower than what it was supposed to be. On the capital budget side, overall we collected 13.41% of our budgeted capital revenue. But if you remove the reserve and the debenture from the budgeted amount, then we collected 56.14% of our budget. That including the 90,000 from the North's fund and the 40,703 from Northern Ontario Heritage Fund Corporation for the baseball field, and 24,084.92 from NHFC related to the St. Stephen renovation project. The 800,000 for the from the debenture from the Infrastructure Ontario, we received it on August 1st, which will be spent on the Central Road project. Capital expense side, again, the We only expend so far 17.29, and again, the reason for the spending low amount because the some of the project couldn't start in second quarter because of the machinery issues and other issues. So most probably they it will be reflected in third quarter or fourth quarter. That's the pretty much the second quarter report, and council have any issues, so we have any questions.
Okay, any questions from council? Councilor Ryan.
Well, Sean, can you tell me, do we have, are our budgets broken down quarterly or monthly, or is there just one annual budget for
them? One annual budget.
Of course, it's quite a challenge to produce this report then. Because I found it a very unusual way to say what percentage of the annual budget had been spent. And in some cases, a low number is a good thing, and in other cases, it's a bad thing. But,
yeah.
Okay.
But overall, if you look at the budget, the so far, we are in profit for 6 months. We collected $2,761,349, and we expense only $2,106,654. So the difference is actually we have more revenue than expense as of June 30th, 2024.
I would also find it much more helpful if you simply told me whether the, well, you can't really say this for the remaining budget, but whether the analysis indicates this is either favorable or unfavorable to the township. Right, and you could do that with conditional formatting for the entire file so that it would become clear to us which are the items that should cause us some care and concern versus those that we know are good and we can just, you know, they're favorable, so we should essentially leave them alone or try and capitalize to the best that we can, and that's all. And I found it very difficult to understand, again, with the remaining budget percentage, as to whether or not it was favorable or unfavorable, and recognize, you know, revenues versus expenses and all that kind of thing, but it does make it very difficult. And if I'm right then, from what you just said, the money that we had in the budget for upgrading, I'm going to say your software, I know it's not yours, but the treasurer's software, we won't spend this year because we'll use it for Near North Business Systems?
That's right.
Okay.
To update our information technology structure, infrastructure.
Okay. Speaking as a person, and hopefully council would agree with this, is that I would hope that you would put that money into next year's budget then so that we get your software updated, because I have a great deal of difficulty with the presentation of this information.
And it may be, I'm sure you're looking very closely at it, if there can be any money found, that's something that maybe he could be
sure.
proactive on and work on sooner if there's
yeah,
something
that's
there.
Great. Yeah,
or
that's
some
great.
Project.
Yeah.
Falls apart, I hope it doesn't, but we still continue.
If we have a favorable variance elsewhere that we could use to do the software this year, that would, I'm sure you would be first amongst those people that wanted to do that, but I'm just saying that would be my preference, and I would think council, I would hope that council would agree to support that too. So,
Councilor Passman.
Yeah, Rodan, I know we got the $800,000 loan center road and that. I see a figure here for $343,000 Herdville Road from Capital Construction. Is that actually what we do have on hand to proceed with the Herdville Road project then?
Correct.
Okay.
$343,000 we have in right now in reserve, and $90,000 we just got this year. That will be applied against the Herdville Road.
Right, so it'll be $90,000 on top of the $343,000 we have.
Yeah.
So, okay, that's. That's a good chunk for a start. Okay, very good.
And what are we earning on the $800,000 then right now? It's in our bank account, right?
That's in our bank account.
And do you know what we earn versus what we pay? I know you've told us before, I just don't remember the figures, but.
It's right now, the whatever the interest rate, the prime minus 1.83 is the
okay.
current interest on our checking account.
And how much are we paying on the debenture? 4 point something?
Yeah.
That's what I remember.
Yeah.
4.1 maybe, something like that anyway.
Yeah.
But okay. Okay. Well, that's helpful.
And as we expected in the start of this year budget, that you know at some point the interest rate will go down, and now the trend is already started.
Can, do you have an explanation for why the library is so under budget on expenses? I mean, a good thing, a favorable variance, I'm saying that, but anyhow.
It's because the levy we paid to the, basically the 99% of that budget is of the levy we paid to the library, which is the check cut in the, again, third quarter, that's why it's a low.
Okay. Can you give us an update, and I don't necessarily mean today, but can you give us an update on the tax arrears? I mean, where we stand? I know that, we had approved a test with the company whose name I've forgotten on those collections, and I know you've told me off the record that, we had collected at least one of those. At least that's my recollection.
Yeah, out of three, we collected one,
okay.
And that was the big amount, large amount, around 18,000 we collected,
okay.
And they paid the consultant fee too, so
okay.
That's also covered. The remaining two, the company already sent notices. They haven't replied it, so now they have 1 year from April, May to the next year, and if they didn't respond within that year, then we can go for the tax sale.
But we are still collecting interest on that in the meantime.
That's correct, yeah.
Okay.
So they have, whenever they pay, if they're willing to pay, then they have to pay the all the interest plus the fee we are paying to the consultant.
Right.
That has to be paid before it has to be removed from the books.
And I know we just collected the second wave of payments, but I mean, do you have, before that, in other words, if we were to say at the end of August, do you know what our total arrears is?
Not right now, because right now it's in the final stages, so it's kind of hard.
Yeah.
The true picture will be again at the end of the third quarter.
Okay. Are you able to give us a quarterly update on that? And I'm just mentioning that. I'm not directing you to do it. I'm asking.
I will look into that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any further comments? Call the question then, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Thank you, Roshan. I know a lot of work went into that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, very good.
You're there for round two. We've got resolution 24-490, moved by Councilor Checkman, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation Township McKellar does hereby receive the 2024 Municipal Insurance Program Renewal Report. The policy terms September 19th, 2024 to September 19th, 2025, and for the Director Treasurer to accept the policy renewal with intact public entities. Again, you provided this for us. It's been online, certainly for the public to see. Do you have any highlights for us of what the percentage increase was over last year, maybe? Or?
The percentage increase from last year is 9.48%.
Okay. And that's fairly standard, I guess?
That's pretty much a standard. The reasoning I got it from the insurance is that, again, it's, they are saying that the inflationary pressure, that's why, and the cost of maintenance of the vehicles, plus the property value, those are the, some of the factors which affected the insurance market, and that's why they're interested.
Comments from council? Councilor Keckman?
I think it would be very helpful if we had a specific list of what is covered. On page 12, it mentions property, you know, schedule of coverage. Coverage is provided for those items indicated below. Property coverage is in all risk basis unless otherwise specified. And then it goes and mentions the coverage description, property of every description. I think if we had a list, because I am concerned if certain assets aren't being covered, such as the Hemlock and St. Stephen's. And so when you look at the coverage description, and it says property of every description, and the limit of insurance is $10,608,994. And I believe that is exactly as it says, is a limit of insurance. So But when you look at the 2015 Infrastructure Solutions Asset Management Plan regarding just bridges, the asset replacement cost is $5,168,487. So my concern is that we don't have, just from the information that's provided, we might not have adequate coverage. Because when you look at page 23, and it talks about program options and property coverage, bridges. Bridge coverage is available with a limit of $11,685,000, which would result in an annual additional premium of $21,710, which we would have to add as an additional premium. So do we have adequate coverage for the assets that we have, particularly when in this document it talks about it's going to provide coverage for full replacement of that asset? But when you look at just the information that I've discussed right now, you can see that that does not seem to line up with just one particular category of our assets.
I totally agree with the councillor that, you know, the bridges are not covered in the sense, you know, total value of the bridges. It's only the maintenance kind of issues are covered, like, you know, last time when we had issued the bridge, they only paid us $50,000. That's the max they can pay with the any kind of bridge issues. So that's why they gave us the option if the council would like to add the bridges, and that's the value of all the bridges, $11,685,842. But then you have to pay extra $21,000 per year. So
yeah, that's, I
think council.
Is it all or nothing for the bridges? Because many of our bridges are relatively new, relatively. We have some older ones, certainly, that would be quite expensive to replace, but I'm wondering if we need the insurance on the fairly new bridges as far as replacement. We shouldn't have to replace a large number of them.
So, and just to list specific bridges that we'd want that kind of coverage to cover, and then the premium would go down.
We should go down, yeah.
Because it does say here specifically that they'll tailor the policy exactly what suits the municipality's needs. So it doesn't, see if I can find that. Property insurance is planning for the unexpected and protecting your physical assets. This is page 35. We will work closely with you to customize the property coverage solution. We cover a wide variety of property, including buildings, inventory, and supplies. So if we were concerned about one particular asset, it seems like that they would work with the municipality to ensure that that one asset is covered. But I think as well, just to find out, to ensure that if we had a list, I looked through this document and I wanted to see if there were specific items listed. It speaks in general terms. There was no specific listings. If we could actually receive that, because I'm sure they would have gone through our asset inventory to determine what our premium is. So
definitely, I'll get the list and I will do the copy for next.
Okay, thank you.
And
okay.
So, sorry, I was talking to the council regarding the bridges this morning, and he was mentioning about the one bridge on the Dickinson.
Right.
And the other one was Hardwell Bridge. He said, you know, that needs maintenance, and, you know, again, if council doesn't want to go with all the bridges, then maybe we can specify specific bridges where we think that really need coverage, because that would be a security issue too.
Yeah. You do have a list of the different assets, I think. That's
We do.
Yeah.
Especially the bridge study, we have, you know, we have all the bridge study, you know, all the bridges and the bridge study report. So.
Yeah. Great. Councillor Zulai.
So, Roshan, so do you actually have like a schedule that says we have all these vehicles that are insured, all these, you know, the community center, the fire hall? Do you have something that specifically says that?
That's the one Mike was talking about at the schedule, yeah, I'll get.
Okay, anything else, comments from council?
They, just one more comment, that they do provide quite a bit of opportunity for municipal education, and it doesn't seem like there's a cost for some of these things. This is on page 6, and oh yeah, there was page 5, there was risk management assessments, fleet management evaluation, just things that may be helpful to for staff as well. So there's educational opportunities that I think that if everyone's aware of, that that would be actually quite useful.
Now, can you guarantee that you come away wiser after those meetings about insurance? Because it gets very complicated.
Well, you can, if you want to see what's there, you can visit municipaleducation.ca.
Yeah, okay.
And you can see what educational information is available, and if it suits any of your curiosity.
Roshan?
Also, with the bridges, I would like to mention that, you know, we don't have a coverage for the unauthorized access to our system. What you call that?
Cybersecurity.
Cybersecurity,
oh, okay.
We don't have that insurance, so I'm not sure if the council would like to look into that, or maybe we have to consult with the IT department to figure out if we really need it, because I see there's a lot of incidents, you know, where the news companies have been hit with the by the hackers.
There seemed to be a rash recently in different areas, so.
He talked about that.
I'm thinking it's something worth looking into, yes.
Yeah. But he had something that covered it, didn't he? The IT guy? Near North?
Near North? Yeah.
Yeah, let's get to him.
Sounds like it should be investigated, I guess, yeah. And I don't know what the cost is and where you find the money. But maybe, you know, it is money well spent sort of thing if something did happen. So.
Yeah, that's a, I remember talking to the our previous IT person, and he suggested we don't need it, but then again, it's a issue with where lots of municipalities are investing right now.
Right.
And, you know.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing with insurance. It's a nice to have when you need it. And it's nice to be covered for what you thought you were covered for. That's not always the case, but.
And that's the truth.
Councilor Kekna?
And then there was the option for facility user solution coverage. I think that we had sort of discussed that maybe at one point in time. So it provides for, in case, so if someone rents the community center, then they have, they're supposed to have their own insurance.
Correct.
Do they always have that?
Like,
does the township see a certificate?
Yes, they provide liability insurance.
Okay.
Proof of liability insurance with their rental.
Right, so naming us as insured?
Yes.
Or co-insured probably, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, so that's another option. What normally I've seen it that that facility insurance, normally most of the big municipalities, they do the sell the insurance to third parties. Like, you know, if you want to have an event, then you have to buy insurance from the municipality about $5 or $10 for that specific event, and then they will be covered.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should look in that a little further, and particularly when it's talking about excluded activities, and one thing is horse related, so just wanting to make sure that the agriculture fair has insurance for that it covers horse-related activities.
Yeah, that's something you'd have to ask the Agricultural Society.
And where our policy stands in regards to that as well.
Well, page 45, in excluded activities, it's horse-related is listed in there.
Yeah.
The bottom paragraph, excluded activities, 45.
to check with the Agricultural Society. I believe when I sat on that, they have quite a bit of insurance as well, but just to confirm, I guess. I know there was that one incident in the parade with the horse. Was acting up anyway, and there's always a concern that if somebody gets hurt, then who's responsible? And it was actually sponsored by the township. It wasn't really part of the horse show, so I think that tells us where that would be. But maybe just contact, I'm not sure who it is, whether it's Lee still with the Agricultural Society, she's the secretary, I guess, and Cam is the chair.
Mm-hmm.
So just find out, just even get a copy of their insurance policy, that would be good. Yeah.
One more point. I just wanted to make sure that any correspondence such as this is addressed to the corporation of the Township of McKellar, care of treasurer or clerk administrator, because we had a situation in the past where an individual had it addressed to them, their personal name, the risk management report, and so that council could not see that risk management report to confirm the validity of it. So just want to make sure that all of the...
I think this one is the name of the corporation of the Township of McKellar. Mine is just a...
Yeah, so this, the report itself, but any correspondence, because the council might not be able to see something if it's addressed directly to an individual, like when it's sent to them, like through email or whatever, because of the privacy policy of whatever organization is that's sending it. Not that it's a concern all the time, but you want to make sure that in the future we never end up in a situation again where someone is withholding information that belongs to the corporation of the Township of McKellar.
Yeah, I think previous council certainly went through that, so it's present people excluded, but that is a concern, certainly, when the insurance company says, no, the corporation can't see that, that's in the private individual's name, and that private individual happened to be working for the township, but that's how they interpreted it, and so it wasn't available to council, and that creates a problem. So I would think, yeah, that whoever you deal with, they have to be told that it is to the corporation care of. I think that makes more sense, and then it isn't into a private name with information that's being withheld from the council. It's just unfortunate that happened, the previous council, and we're not saying it would happen with this council, but we're trying to protect the township as well, so that all the information that's out there that's available dealing with these, you know, you're talking large amounts, that the information is available to all of council. The decision-making body, rather than an individual who's working for that township. But as I say, present company excluded, so you're doing well.
Thank you.
Okay, any further comments on this? The one I had, and I don't know whether you're talking to the insurance company, I'd always wanted to confirm, because there were rumors going around, this is going back years now, even before Intact, but with automobile insurance, that the idea was that if you're using your own automobile, and I'm not sure if you can answer this, but maybe you take it to them, and you were on township business, that you would be covered through the township policy. But then the rumor was that, no, that was only the secondary policy they go to. They go to your first policy, even though you're doing township business, it's your vehicle. And so I just wanted that confirmed too, that, you know, it's don't go to your individual policy first. You actually go to the township policy if you're doing township business with your vehicle. That would make a big difference to anybody acting on behalf, whether it be a counselor, a volunteer, whoever, working on behalf of the township. I'm not sure if I made that clear, but it always concerned me that... And that's what I say, the difficulty understanding some of these policies until it actually, you know, comes right down to the end, and you have to find out that, well, maybe you weren't covered like you thought you were. Okay.
So it does mention non-owned automobile coverage highlights on page 27. Coverage.
I'll get an answer here.
If you can decipher what it says. Coverage is provided. provided for third-party liability arising from the use or operation of any automobile not owned or licensed in the name of the insured, if it results in bodily injury, including death, property damage.
Yeah, coverage is provided, and that's concerned, though, is it the first coverage, or is it your personal coverage first? And then they put some in, whatever can't be covered.
Right.
So that's my concern. It says coverage will be provided, yes, but where are you in the line? Which coverage did they go to first?
It'd be good to get clarification.